Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel service tonight are the final words of verse number 2 of Matthew's gospel, chapter number 8. Here we read about a certain man who was a leper speaking to the Lord Jesus, and he makes this statement in the presence of Christ, and indeed to Christ. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, it must be said that there was no ministry like the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And years gone by, there's been faithful servants of God, ministers, evangelists, pastors. But no matter how faithful they are or have been, we must say tonight that there's really no ministry that can compare to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his ministry like here on earth? Well, we see from the Scriptures that it was a preaching ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ was one who forthrightly preached the gospel. We read of his ministry in the early days in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. It says this: "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Christ was a preacher of the gospel. And that is why every minister, every evangelist, every pastor, every missionary must also preach the gospel, because in doing so they're following the very example of the Son of God. As well as a preaching ministry, we can say also that the Savior's ministry was a prayerful ministry. You read of his life here on earth in the gospels, and you'll see that his life was marked by prayer. His ministry publicly began with prayer, and right at the very end, when he was being nailed on the cross and dying on the cross of Calvary, he still was praying and crying out to his heavenly Father. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read of Christ and says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Christ had a place set apart for him to commune with God, him to commune with his heavenly Father right at the very early part of the day. And again, what an example that is to you and I tonight who are saved, to set apart a place, maybe in our home or in our workplace or whatever, a place where we can shut out the world and every other distraction and get alone with God and commune with God and seek God and call upon his name. How vital that is in the life of every one of us day by day who are saved by the grace of God. He was a preacher of the Word of God. He was one who loved to pray and commune with his heavenly Father. But we can say further about his ministry that it was a powerful ministry. It was a ministry owned of God, that the power and the blessing of God was upon. And you see that very particularly here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, that chapter we've read from here tonight. Here you have an account of his public ministry in and around the Sea of Galilee and around that area. And as you study this chapter and look through it, really, from the beginning right to the very end, you'll see this coming true: the power of God upon his ministry. You'll see that he displayed power over the devils, over the very demons of hell themselves. And you see that right at the end of the chapter. Look at verse number 28. It says there of the Lord Jesus, "And when he was come to the other side," that's the other side of the Sea of Galilee, "into the country of their Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way." Here were men under satanic control, and people were afraid of them. Such was the power of darkness exhibited in their life. And in verse 29 it says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Verse 32 says of the Lord Jesus, "And he said unto them, Go And when they were come out, that is, come out of these men that were possessed, they went into the herd of swine, these demons, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. There you see the power of Christ at work against all the demons of hell. And there's the power of Christ over all the powers of darkness. We see also here his power displayed in this chapter over nature as well. The disciples were in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and there was a great storm, and they were fearful. But who was it that stilled the storm? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26 of the chapter. And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" He said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. It was this great storm in the sea, but the Lord had but to speak the word, and there was a calm, there was a peace. Maybe there's one in the meeting tonight, and there's a storm raging in your heart tonight, in your circumstances tonight, and you're afraid of those circumstances and the outcome of the whole situation. Let me say to you tonight in this meeting, the Lord is able to still the storm in your life, whatever that storm might be. The Bible says of the Lord, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee." There's no storm too great for the Lord to still and to calm. He displayed his power over devils, over nature. And then we see also his power displayed over disease. And we see this in a couple of occasions in the chapter. You read of him healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Look at verse 15. She was sick with a fever. Here we see that Peter was a married man, and his mother-in-law was ill. Verse 15, it says of the Lord, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." She knew the touch of God, and she was healed by the Lord. We see also here the Lord Jesus healing the servant of the Roman centurion. Look at verse number 13. Look at what it says. "And Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." The servant who was very dear to the heart of this Roman centurion, this soldier, was healed. Indeed, the Lord commended the centurion for his faith. He said, "I have not found so great a faith, no doubt, in Israel." And he was one who knew the healing touch of God, this servant of the Roman centurion. But then we see also the Lord here healing this leper right at the very beginning of the chapter. Look at verse number 3 of the chapter. It says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, Lord, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was departed from her." His leprosy was cleansed. Now tonight I want us to consider this account here of Christ healing this leper. We're not told who this leper was, not even told his name. But we read about this man who was a leper. The Lord touched him. The Lord healed him. And God has put that for a purpose here in the divine record of Scripture. And that purpose is that in this we have a gospel picture, a wonderful picture in the gospel, of how the Lord saves a sinner from their sin. You think of those words of our text. This man, this leper, speaks to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here we have this man coming to the Lord, looking to the Lord for help in his need. He is not disappointed, and by the healing of this man is a wonderful picture in the gospel for you and I of how the Lord save sinners. And as we would consider these words and look at this leper in particular tonight, I want you to see the great picture here of the Lord's power, the Lord's saving power in salvation. Notice first of all here with me the condition of this leper. In our text he says to Christ, he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here was a man, he knew his need. He felt his need. He was a leper. We are told that. We're told at the beginning of verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was aware of his leprosy, and leprosy was an awful disease. His condition was terrible. In Luke's account of this man, he says that he was full of leprosy. Leprosy affected every part of his body, his physical frame. Leprosy in the scriptures was a terrible disease. It disfigured the body. It destroyed the body. It was contagious. It led to isolation in society. It could not be cured by man, and eventually it led to death. But you know, this picture of this man and his leprosy is given here to us tonight by God in the scriptures to really convey to us a picture of man in his sin and his lost sinful condition before Almighty God. For you know, just as leprosy was a terrible disease, so sin also is a terrible disease that affects every human heart, the hearts of all mankind. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing. That's really because of our sin. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And what is sin? It's the breaking of God's law. It's the coming short of the glory of God. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin really is man's failure to live up to God's standard, to live up to God's glory and the perfect standard of His Word. My sin is something that ruins lives. Sin leads to a way that is not right in God's sight. It leads to a way that is perverse before God. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And sin, yes, leads to terrible repercussions in life. It leads to terrible repercussions in our society day by day. On our news, we hear of murder this past week. We heard of that young girl murdered down in County Offaly in the middle of the day. It leads to theft. It leads to lawlessness, adultery, immorality, rebellion in the home, the desecration of the Lord's day, abortion, sodomy, evolution, false religion, all these things that we see and hear about in society day by day. This is the outworking of sin in the human heart. One saved friend tonight realized this. Just as leprosy was a terrible disease in Bible times, so our sin is a terrible disease. It's an awful disease. It's a disease that affects all our hearts. It's a disease that affects all our lives. And might just also as leprosy separated a man who had it in society, so sin separates, yes, it separates man from man, but much more importantly that it separates man from God. You think of Adam and Eve. They were perfect in the Garden of Eden. Then they sinned, and what happened? God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. The Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And friend, tonight understand this, that our sin separates us from God. It isolates us from God. We're told in the book of Proverbs that the Lord is far from the wicked. Sin puts a barrier between us and God. Then also, just as leprosy was a disease that could spread, so sin is a disease that affects our entire human being. It affects every part of man's faculty and every part of man's being. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord there is speaking about the awful effects of sin in the life of a person. And this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And the thought there is of a corpse, of a body that is rotting, that is putrid, that is affected in every part. And the Lord gives that description really to describe how sin affects every part of man's being. Sin affects our hearts. It affects our minds. It affects our wills. It affects our understanding. It affects our thinking. It affects our words. It affects our deeds.
result of sin. Yes, you and I are totally unable to save ourselves from our sin. We are totally unable ourselves to free ourselves from this awful burden of sin. The Bible says, because of our sin, we are without strength. There's nothing we can do ourselves that can alleviate or deliver or take away this awful burden and disease of sin in our hearts and souls. Because of that, we're lost and we're hopeless and helpless before God. We have no power to set ourselves free from the awful curse and burden of sin that's upon us by nature. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 5. And look at what is said here in verse number 22. The verse here speaking about man and his sin. Man being totally unable himself to deal with his sin. In other words, he's bound to his sin. He's no power to deliver himself from it. Verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 5, speaking of man as a sinner, the Word of God says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and notice that he shall be holden with the cords of his sin, no power to break free in and of himself. This man before us tonight, this leper, had no power in and of himself to deal with his leprosy. Likewise, friend, in the meeting tonight, you and I have no power in and of ourselves to deal with our sin and to remove this awful burden and disease of sin in our hearts. And then we can say further tonight, just as leprosy kills if not cured, so sin is the same. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. This is the payment for sin. This is what our sin earns. This is what our sin brings. It leads to death. What is this death that the Bible speaks of? Well, there are three aspects to this death. Yes, there is physical death. The reason why people die physically all over the world is because of sin and the fall of man. Remember Adam when he sinned, the Bible says this in Genesis 5, verse 5, it says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Why did he die? Because of sin. Death was caused by sin in the life of Adam. And what is this physical death? It's the separation of the soul from the body. That's what takes place in physical death. But then there's also spiritual death. That's another aspect of this death. And that really means, yes, that man, because of sin, his soul is destitute of spiritual life. The Bible says man, because of his sin, is alienated from the life of God. The Bible says by nature you and I are dead and trespasses and in sins. And this really means the separation of man's soul from God. And if you're not saved tonight, this is you. Your soul is separated from God because of sin, dead in trespasses and in sins. But then there's another final aspect to this death, and that is the fact that it is eternal. It leads to eternal death. And what is that? That is everlasting punishment in hell. Yes, this means the separation of man's soul and man's body from God for all of eternity in hell in the lake of fire. The Bible warns you and I about this awful end of sin. Listen to the words of Christ. As he speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees in his days, he says, ye serpents, ye vipers, how can ye escape, he says, the damnation of hell? There he was warning them of the awful end of their sin. And what is hell? The Bible says it is a place of torments, everlasting torments, punishment for sin. This is where man's body and soul will be tormented for his sin forever and ever. Notice how Christ warns of this in our Bible reading tonight. Look at verse number 12. Speaking of those Jews in particular who rejected him and rejected the gospel. He says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, can I say this is where your sin will lead to? If you are not saved from your sin. See the seriousness of sin. The awful end of sin. The awful harvest of sin. This is what we earn through sin. This is sin's payment.
death, separation from God, been cast out into outer darkness, after this world, after the scene of time. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to you and I about a certain rich man in Scriptures who died unsaved. And the Lord says he died and in hell he lift up his eyes. The Lord says being in torments. And he is still tormented tonight in hell. And he will be tormented in hell for all of eternity to come. Dear friend, if you die unsaved, die in your sin, this will be your end. This is what you will reap. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yes, we see here the condition of this leper. But notice, secondly, notice the cry of this leper. He says in our text to the Lord, he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And you'll see here that this man's desperate condition, what did it do? It led him to Christ. It leads him to seek Christ for help. Perhaps he'd heard about Christ. Someone maybe had spoken to him about Christ, but he knows his need can be met in Christ, and he is led to Christ. And he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He seeks help from the only one who could save him, the only one who could do him good and help him in his need. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save sinners from their sin. He's the one. He's the only one. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And salvation is not in man. It's not in the church, this church or any other church. It is not in man's organization or ritual or ceremony. It is not in works or good works. It's not in our money. It's not in the minister or the priest or the pastor or Mary the saints. No. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and none other. Turn the page in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. Now look with me there at what Christ says about this very fact, highlighting it in verse 12 and verse number 13 of Matthew chapter number 9. He says in the midst of verse 12, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come, he says, but to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here we see how Christ has come to call sinners to repentance. In other words, he's come to save sinners. He's come to save souls. He says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And friend, tonight unsaved, as you think of your need as a sinner, see this, that only Christ can save you. Only Christ can do you good. We see here how this leper in his need, what did he do? He cried earnestly to the Lord. He said in our text, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In Mark's account of this incident, he says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him. That word beseeching there means to call out. It means to plead earnestly with every part of the man's being, so to speak. Dear friend, yes, you and I must be earnest about the salvation of our souls. We may be earnest about our work, our business, and other things in life, and that is right. But oh, the most important thing of all that you and I must be earnest about is our soul's salvation and seeking the Lord. The hymn writer says, oh, be earnest, death is near. Thou wilt perish, lingering here. Friend, are you earnest about your soul tonight and your soul's need of salvation being met in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter number 2. And here you read about Jews who heard the gospel preached by the Apostle Peter in the day of Pentecost. And God spoke to them, their hearts were challenged, and they became most earnest about their soul and their soul's salvation. Look at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. It says, and when they heard this, it says they were pricked in their heart. And they said, Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
They did not dismiss the sermon or the preacher and say, that's not for me, or that's for someone else, or for somebody else down the road. No. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was an earnestness in their heart and in their soul about getting right with God. And what does the Lord say to you now in His Word about salvation? In the book of Romans, the Word of God says there in Romans chapter number 10 and the verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That speaks about you and I, about being earnest, seeking the Lord and looking to the Lord for salvation. Friend, in our meeting tonight, I would say to you, let nothing or let no one hold you back from Christ and seeking the Lord for salvation. Be earnest about this matter. This leper also, we see, he cried humbly to the Lord. Look at verse number 2 again of Matthew chapter 8. It says, and behold, there came a leper. Notice what it says about him in the presence of Christ. And he worshipped Him. He humbled himself before the Lord. He knows he's in the presence of the One who is King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of glory. He acknowledges his need of the Lord. He bows the knee, so to speak, in the presence of Christ. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And friend, to be saved from your sin, you must humbly acknowledge your need of the Lord. Your need personally of the Lord's salvation. Think of the publican who smote his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you acknowledged your need personally before God in the presence of the Lord? Your need as a sinner lost and undone before God. We see also here that this leper, he cried out in faith to the Lord. And again, you see that from our text. Look at what he says. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed in his heart that day that the Lord was able to heal him and the Lord was able to save him. And dear friend, it's by trusting in Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, relying upon Him by faith, that you too can be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You remember the Philippian jailer, he was in great fear. And he said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what was the answer he received? It was this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They told them just to believe in Christ in simple childlike faith, to rest upon Christ and trust Him for salvation. Man or woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, that's how you can be saved. That's the only way to be saved, is by trusting in the Lord for salvation. When you're ill, you take medicine. Why? Because you believe it can help you. You believe it can heal you. Well, Christ is the only one who can save you from your sin. He's the one you must trust in. You see, as the sinless Son of God, He went to the cross. He shed His blood. He satisfied God's justice. He purchased eternal salvation for all, whoever they are, who will trust Him as Savior. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Peter, speaking of Christ, says, unto you, therefore, that believe, He is precious. And my, to know the blessedness of God's so great salvation, you must trust in Christ. You must rest upon Christ as Savior. The hymn writer says, only trust Him, only trust Him now. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Oh, if you are still not saved tonight, may you come even in this meeting to rest upon Christ and to trust in Christ alone for salvation. The condition of this man, the cry of this man. Notice one final thought. Notice the cure of this man. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 3. And what words these are. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him. saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He was not disappointed in coming to the Lord and seeking the Lord and calling upon the Lord to save him and deliver him. Likewise, friend, when you come to Christ and trust him as Savior, you too, whoever you are in this meeting, will not be disappointed. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will notice here that this leper was healed through the Lord's word. Verse 3 says, Jesus put forth his hand, saying, I will be thou clean. And friend, to be saved from your sin, you must heed the word of God. And the word of God urges you to seek Christ. The word of God urges you to trust in Christ. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. John Wesley, speaking of the way to heaven, said, God himself has written it down in a book. At any price, he says, give me the book of God. He knew the preciousness of the word of God because it would show him the way to heaven and be right with God. And dear friend, at our meeting tonight, I would say to you, don't be foolish. Don't turn away from God's word. Don't reject the word of God. Don't reject the invitation, the gospel invitation of the Bible. No. Heed that invitation and come and seek the Lord. You'll see also here this leper was healed, yes, through the Lord's power. Verse 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, and immediately it says his leprosy was cleansed. He was healed by the Lord's power in a moment of time. One moment, yes, he was defiled with leprosy. But the next moment he was cleansed from his leprosy. He was made whole. And proof of that cleansing is seen in the command of Christ given to him in the very next verse, verse number 4. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In Bible times, yes, it was the custom that the priest would verify a person who was cleansed from their leprosy. And that's what this man was to do, was to go and show himself to the priest and offer the sacrifice under the Jewish law at that particular time. But he was healed by the Lord's touch in a moment of time. And friend, if you trust Christ as Savior, you too, yes, will be saved. Saved in a moment of time. You'll be brought into a new state. Your sins will be pardoned by God. The Bible says, by him all that believe are justified from all things. You'll be given new life, power, and grace to live for the Lord. The Lord says, I am come that you might have life, might have it more abundantly. You'll have new fellowship, fellowship with God being your heavenly Father, fellowship with the people of God and the church of Christ. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And in trusting Christ as Savior, you'll have a new home. Saved from hell, saved from going down into the pit, and assured of a place in heaven. You remember the words of Christ in John's Gospel, chapter number 14, to his disciples. What did he say at the beginning of that great passage of Scripture? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What was he telling the disciples that day? Those who had trusted him as Savior, saying, I'm preparing a place for you in heaven. A place for you in heaven is sure. It is guaranteed. It is sealed by the blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Dear friend, when you trust Christ as Savior, you have a new destination ahead of you after this world, after this scene of time. That destination is heaven. That destination is glory, being with Christ forever and ever, and heaven forevermore. And then we see also here that this leper, yes, was healed through the Lord's grace. And you see that in verse 3 of the chapter. For it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Remember who this man was? He was a leper.
He was a beggar. He was an outcast of society. People would have passed by this man. They would have nothing to do with him whatsoever in Jewish society, but not so with the Lord. And here you see the grace of Christ. The Lord, we're told, put forth his hand and he touched him. He says, I will, be thou clean. He knows the touch of the hand of Christ, that hand that was to be pierced for him on Calvary's cross. And he was made clean. He was made whole by the touch of the Lord. And there you see the grace of Christ. And friend, the Lord is still the same tonight. He's still the gracious Savior as he was that day as he dealt with this man the leper. For he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And he is full of grace. He is full of truth. You come to him just as you are, a poor and needy sinner, and confess your need of him and trust him as Savior. He will save you. He will hear your cry. He will save your soul. He'll fit you for heaven. Turn with me back to Psalm number 147. Look at what it says here in this psalm about the Lord. Psalm 147. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of the psalm. Look at what it says about the Lord. And here you see the grace of the Lord. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You think of this man, he was an outcast. His life was broken and ruined by this awful disease of leprosy. But did the Lord pass him by? No. The Lord put forth his hand and touched him and gathered him unto himself and saved him, delivered him, brought him into the family and into the fold of God. Dear friend, you may be an outcast in society. Maybe others in society have no time for you, no concern for you. But that is not so with the Lord. The Bible says he careth for you. He cares for your soul. My, the Lord, yes, has died upon the cross. He shed his blood. If you come to him just as you are, he will not turn you away, not cast you out. He will save you, forgive your sins, bring you into the family, fold of God, make you an inheritor of heaven, an inheritor of glory. John Newton could say of Christ, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Friend, the Lord can do the same for you tonight. He can save you. As he saved this man, this leper, so many years ago in the Scriptures, he can save you tonight. All you've got to do as a sinner is to come to him by faith and trust him. Call upon him for mercy. He will save your soul. He'll pardon your sin. He'll fit you for heaven and take you to be with himself one day. Forevermore. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together hymn number 221. 221, the final hymn just in our wee order of service. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. You know, we'll stand as we sing and thinking of the words as we sing them and singing it with all of our heart, 221.
just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one in our gathering tonight and there's a concern in your soul about your need of salvation, then I urge you tonight to come to the Lord, to seek Him, to trust Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be in no hurry away. Be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who can save you and take you to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here tonight. Bless Thy Word to every heart, to every soul, as Thou would see your need. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in the gathering tonight who is saved, who can rejoice in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and are on their way to glory, on their way to heaven, that place of life evermore. But Lord, for any in the gathering who do not have this hope, do not have this blessed assurance, we pray that even tonight, Lord, in the final moments of this meeting, that they might turn and seek the Lord for salvation. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, we pray. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. While the voice of man is silent, Lord, speak on tonight to all our hearts. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.